It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. Hey, everybody, welcome into the Letterman Lounge. The sun came up in Columbus, Ohio, but understandably, still some raw emotions around town. 2 days removed from Michigan 42, Ohio State 27. We are going to get into it right now in Roosters for Letterman Live. It's a fun, casual joint. There's a bowl giveaway. We will get to that, but that seems like the last priority to get into right now. So we brought in a couple extra helpers today to dive into it. Cardale Jones, Justin Zwick, Tyvus Powell, Bobby Carpenter, Berm, and myself. Predictions were wrong.
To say the least.
Putting it nicely.
Where should we begin with this?
Ah, man. When you go into the game, when you go into a game with that much on the line, and we didn't expect a team, either team, to score 42 points, let alone Michigan, with knowing they, you know, will keep the ball on the ground as much as they did. But you got to give credit where credit is due. Ohio State went up there, and they, you know, one thing Coach Mick used to say about road games, you need to pack your tough undies and your run game and your D line. And Ohio State left it all in Columbus. So kudos to team up north, and Ohio State got to look forward to this bowl game.
Which they won't.
Of course not.
Well, no. I think we thought maybe Ohio State would score 40 some, you know, points based off of what they've done the last few weeks as an offense, but you're in a hostile environment with the weather snowing up there. I mean, Berm, was it cold on the sideline?
It was cold.
Okay, it was cold. So you were dressed correctly though, right?
But I was cold.
Okay. But yeah, you're up there, hostile environment, snow coming down, wind. I mean, we had seen CJ throw the ball through that before, but man, when you're throwing it that many times and the run game's not going for you, I mean, in a game like that, trenches wins for you, and it won for Michigan on Saturday on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, it was just that. It's the energy. You know, I was just so surprised to see us come out flat. Like, you come out, it's a rivalry game. You know, it's so much on the line. And just to see, you know, the team up north come out, you could clearly see that they wanted it more. You know, they've been getting teased and picked on for the past 10 years. And then you could tell that this game meant more to them. I mean, they came out with a lot of passion and energy from the first drive. Boom, they took it right down in our face. Just boom, ran it right down our throat and scored. And we did not match them. No intensity on the second. When we got the ball, I felt like, and even when we got back on defense, I still felt like the energy just wasn't there.
And there was points in the game, you know, chance to go 14-0, Bryson Shaw gets the interception. It feels like it's starting to turn a little bit. Like, things are pivoting. Go down, like, can't really get it together. Like, you don't, and Chris Olave, he's been a Wolverine killer, man. But you've got to play big in those games. You have to make sure you make all the plays. But a little bit of what Tyvus was saying, I mean, when you're playing a team that's that desperate in a rivalry game, you have got to find a way to match their level of intensity. And there was a desperation that they had, and you could see it from the very beginning, the emotional element of it. And we've risen to that almost every year. Maybe the talent gap was bigger and maybe just generally more physical. But you felt like when you watched this team this year, really good on offense, and they got a lot better on defense. But I would never have said that this team was physically dominant. A lot of the runs that we had, more perimeter run game, throw it around, and you could have all those things, but when you have to go get yards, you've got to be able to do it on offense. It's got to be downhill. And defensively, when you have to get stops, you need to be able to go and get stops downhill. And that comes from that emotional element. And it didn't seem like Ohio State was able to reach it on that level that Michigan got to. You have to match their intensity. And I guess the best analogy, it's been 10 years since there's been a Monday like this in Columbus, Ohio. A decade.
Yeah.
There's been a decade. I was still playing football. Cardale was still at Ohio State. So was Tyler. These guys are still playing.
Fork Union or something.
Fork Union. Not even there. It had been so long, so much time had passed since this, that I was trying to remember, like, what it was actually like. Like, hey, Big Ten championship's happening, and Ohio State's not in it. You're coming off a loss. Like, all of these different things. It's been so foreign. But, you know, when you grew up starving, proverbially, in this rivalry, like a lot of people in Ohio did in the 90s, and watching the losses roll up, Tress gets here, the thing gets flipped on its head. And then you even see the blip in 2011. But it's been a long time. And so Ohio State has been eating at the rivalry buffet of roosters. They've got the carving stations. They've got caviar.
They got chips.
That's where the chips went.
They're bringing everything you want each and every day. And dude, Michigan has been the dude, kids on the outside just staring through the glass, slobbering. And finally it got to the point where, dude, you it's been so long since you've been starving that you can't remember what it's like anymore. And those guys at Michigan, give them credit. They knew how they were going to win. They knew what they needed to do. And Jim Harbaugh said, we're going to win or die. He was going to run the ball 40 times.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of what happened, and you got to match it, and you got to be tougher up front.
To carry on your analogy, generally speaking, if you're on the inside of that buffet and you see a bunch of people outside the window, pounding on the window, you're like, okay, we got to keep an eye on these crazies back here because you don't know what's going to happen. And I think Ohio State finally just stopped looking, and Michigan busted through the glass and said, okay, we're taking it. If you're not going to try to stop us anymore, we're going to take it. Last week, I predicted Ohio State would win the game 45-38. You guys know I was nervous about things all week. Last Tuesday, we had a practice report, and I said that I thought Michigan was Minnesota plus. And Austin and Tim and the guys kind of laughed at me because Minnesota ran the ball down Ohio State's throat. And I thought that Michigan's style was a bad matchup for Ohio State. And you hoped that the game, the atmosphere of the game would be enough to help Ohio State's players kind of remember what happened 2 months ago. I asked Kerry Combs after the Oregon game in a press conference if Ohio State was tough enough, if he thought his defense was tough enough. And the answer he gave was that, yeah, he thought they were tough. They'd been through so much in the last year and a half, and it'd be, a, you know, how could they not be tough? But I was talking about physically tough. Are you able to get punched in the face and fight back?
And they didn't fight back.
And that's you saw it in the second half. Michigan at that first drive of the game of the second half, when Michigan gets the three and out and then just goes three running plays for 82 yards straight up straight in the face of Ohio State. And that defense said, we're done. We're not gonna play anymore. That was unbelievable to see.
One thing the defense I think had relied a lot on is our offense scored a lot of points. And our offense, like, okay, well, we put teams in such a catch-up battle for our defense all year.
They threw the ball three times in the second half, right? Exactly. Or whatever it was.
Five. Yeah, they put them in there. Our offense put them in the catch-up battle so much. Now the defense don't have to worry about being tough because they know their offense got to go out there and throw the ball. They got to throw the ball. And Michigan at a point, this was one game we talked about on weekend kickoff that we didn't even mention talent. We didn't say, oh, I'll say at some point, their talent's going over. Yep. This is a rivalry game. All that goes out the window. It's all about how bad do you want it and how tough you are. And we can look at Michigan roster, and clearly they don't match up with Ohio State roster as far as talent-wise, but they were tougher. And then, like we said before, they just won this game.
Well, they were. With all that being said, though, I'm guilty of it, went into halftime saying, all right, it's a one-point game. We get the ball back coming out. We're going to, you know, at that point in time, it could have been 21-14.
They'll
if we
adjust
scored
and
right
stop
before.
The run.
Yeah, yeah, we'll figure this out.
Put
like,
another
I wasn't
linebacker
worried.
On the field.
Like, I didn't expect that second half to go kind of the way it did. We took a couple punches early on. We fought back, one-point game at halftime. And then the wheels fell off. Three just straight run plays to open, kick it, and then, like Jeremy said, down the field.
But to piggyback off of that, the thing that we've ignored is that all year the adjustments for Ohio State haven't been great. I mean, you think – this game to me basically showed that the things that we were worried about in Minnesota, Oregon, and even when we was struggling in the red zone against Penn State, we just kind of ignored it because the teams they played after that, it's like, oh, they fixed it.
Yeah.
But the teams that they played after that wasn't that good of teams to begin with. So we thought, okay, maybe it was fixed. Coming into this game, everything that we was concerned about at the beginning of the year came right back out. I was in the group chat with D. Lee and Josh, and they literally were saying the same thing that we were saying in Oregon. Leverage, tackling, toughness, all that. It all came right back. Struggling in the red zone, taking field goals and not getting touchdowns in the red zone. Everything just literally came back. And it was just too overwhelming. They couldn't overcome it this time.
You know, it's amazing. You bring up leverage. There was multiple times on the defense you could see dudes dipping their head inside. And that Haskins and Corbin, they did a good job setting up blocks. But you can't be messing around with the guy and dip inside when you have contain unless you know that you can whip that dude down and go make a play. And they couldn't do that. They weren't physically able to get there. I think – and some of the adjustments, I don't know how – like bring another dude in the game?
Yeah.
Like,
what, that,
bring in another.
You all a second half, like, why don't we bring another down lineman in?
You're getting mashed off the ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, the linebackers, like, as much as, you know, I've really enjoyed some of those guys, like, they haven't played that much. And I talked to them, like, it was going to be a four-quarter game. And they, I don't think they were ready for those guys to be
the
in
things that the things that Michigan did. Michigan said, hey, this is our run game. Stop it. You're going to have to beat us. And vice versa, on defense, what they did, Ohio State offense, they said, we're not going to let you beat us with this pass. I never seen a team play an Ohio State quarterback in two man so much. Because for one, I think it's because of the comments CJ made, talking about he don't want to run the ball, he's not a running back. So what do? You play them in two man because you don't let those three receivers kill you. Even though they had, you know, somewhat of good games, all three of them, but you play two men, and that's the best way to stop the pass. And then on defense, like I said, they just ran the ball. Ohio State had, they didn't make any of those adjustments. Like, you know what, forget this. Let's sell all out on a freaking run game. Let's make this quarterback beat us through the air.
And I think that's another callback to Oregon, where we sat there and said, well, what's going on with this rotation and the personnel they're using? If Michigan is never going to throw the football, Marcus Williamson is of no value to you whatsoever defensively.
I said the same. Why are we a nickel and they running the ball? It should be.
That's a Craig Young situation. That's a Court Williams situation.
Yeah,
any other linebacker situation. And they were thin. Like, Cade Stover had to practice with the linebackers last week because they were down the six of them. You watched them go through warmups, and it was like the spring game. So some of this stuff has been going on for 6 months, 7 months, or we can throw in the Alabama game, and you sit there, and that was also extenuating circumstances, but they're playing four linebackers against Mac Jones and Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle, and you wonder what the hell is going
Blitz.
On.
Blitz. Blitz. Go get them or something. And I understood, like, you know, they came out, and Ohio State played a nickel a lot because Michigan, they ran a ball out of 11 personnel. So one running back and three receivers. And to me personally, when a four-minute offense or a time to run the ball, I mean, that's what I would do. That's my four-minute offense. It'll be 11 personnel because I wanted that extra little body on the field, but you still got all your run plays available to you. I want to spread them all out. And definitely in critical situations, that's what Michigan did to a certain extent. But I'm like I said before, I'm the defense of Ohio State. I'm selling out on the run. I don't care. If we got that matchup like we saw the national championship game, we got four linebackers on the field and they got three receivers, well, I'm banking on them running the ball. And hopefully with this blitz, or hopefully with this pressure I'm putting on, hopefully we get to them if they pass it.
Yeah, that Michigan offense
go get them.
Pass game isn't what Alabama was.
You
didn't have Devontae Smith coming.
Exactly.
Now, granted, they made some good plays, I think they had to play perfect. You know, and even during the game, Joel Klatt, the running back, catches the ball one-handed, tucks it. And Joel Klatt was even like, what is going on? Because it just felt like everything they were doing seemed to be working.
They got creative. They had the little flea flicker. They took shots at Denzel Burke.
They've done that all year.
That was a complete game.
Yeah, it was.
Even the plays that Ohio State made on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, come on, man. Catch behind the guy.
The
touchdown
break,
they Mawson got. Those guys was in position. It wasn't like blown coverage.
They were ready to play. Think about offensively Ohio State, every game the Buckeyes have lost in the last 5 years has come down to the same thing. The Buckeyes get one-dimensional and they lose.
Mm-hmm.
If you take away the Ohio State ability to run the football and you require the quarterback to throw it 50 times, the Buckeyes are going to probably lose. And it's not because the quarterback can't do it. CJ's done it. Dwayne against Purdue in 2018 threw it 73 times, set a school record for passing yards. But if you can't control the line of scrimmage, you're going to lose. And the Buckeyes got their butts absolutely kicked on offense and defense at the point of attack.
So the yards per carry is held up. It's been 20 years. The team that wins the yards per carry battle has won this game.
Mm.
It was 7.2 to 2.1.
Woo.
Like, not even close.
Not even close.
Tripling you up right there. I mean, it's
it was
ridiculous because Ohio State didn't need to go out and rush for
barbecue chicken.
No, but they needed.
But when they needed, they needed
for
to be able to go run the ball for 5 yards, and they couldn't do that consistently. Here's one other thing. What do you think the time of possession was in the game?
Oh, a lot to a little.
Ohio State actually outgained them. Ohio State hit the ball longer than they did.
They scored so.
We scored.
Because Michigan did what no one else has been able to do all year, and they extended Ohio State drives. It was, you know, C.J. Stroud threw the ball 49 times or something. Threw for almost 400 yards. But there was not a lot of those chunk plays. It was 6 yards, 7 yards, 6 yards, yeah, 7 yards. And that's how you have to play it. You got to keep guys in front of you.
Yep.
As you said,
goes back to two man. You got the two high safeties. You're taking away that big
and
play.
Daxon Hill is probably the only player in that Michigan secondary that is someone you can actually have to worry about scheming against. But you have to give kudos to the young guys that played corner. They made plays, and you know, they were ready to play. Ohio State simply. I said this on Saturday. I wrote it on Sunday. One team played like they had nothing to lose, and one team looked like they thought they couldn't. And yep. I'm telling you what, you go into that game and you think that that team across the field from you doesn't want it, or you don't think that they can beat you, you get beat.
Right, so we will not be giving out some Roosters Buckeye leaves for this loss. Let's dive in one more time before we take a break. What was the most concerning thing that happened on Saturday?
The toughness.
Yeah.
I take it kind of personally. I mean, Bobby probably can attest to this, is that the fact that we play defense. So when you come to Ohio State, the number one thing you hear is silver bullet defense, flat out. You're tougher than them, you're more physical than them, and you dominate. And you go out there and you see your defensive line and linebackers just completely getting blown off the ball. It's so concerning. You see guys who just seem like they didn't want it. Like, nope, it didn't seem like they wanted to throw it in there. And it kind of pisses me off, because it's like we built something. Like for since Bobby was there, since before Bobby was there, it's always been, you're going to be the toughest people out there on that field. You're going to throw it in there. You're going to sacrifice your body for this team. No matter what may happen, you're going to do it. You got 10 other guys that's going to be there for you no matter what. So never be scared. And it just, I did not see that. It really pissed me off, because it's like everything we built is just completely failed out.
I would echo that. And I would say it's just, you know, all defense. Like Denzel Burke giving up a play, that's going to happen.
Yep.
You're going to have that. You know, Chris Olave, as great as he is, he's going to drop a ball every now and then. You know, and those things are disappointing, because you've seen those guys make those plays all year long. But it's the fact that couldn't stop the run when you knew that's what they were going to do.
Yep.
And it looked like you were even a little disinterested. That's defensive line, that's linebackers, that's safety. There's all three levels where you saw, like, man, like, didn't no one was really trying to set the tempo or set an edge and making sure that, hey, this is what's going to happen. And then it was the same thing on offense. People want to get upset. You came out and ran the ball three times, you couldn't get 10 yards. I'm upset that you ran the ball three times
in a row.
You didn't get 10 yards.
Yeah. Right.
Like, that to me, are we talking about having a Heisman Trophy candidate running back, an offensive line that has all these first rounders, all that?
Oh, yeah.
Three times in a row, you can't get 10. I'm not saying 20. You just couldn't go get 10 yards. Like, that is highly concerning.
Yeah, the toughness, I'm going to echo what these guys said. And, you know, I've been working with you guys and doing shows with you guys for the last, I want to say, 3.5-4 years. And one thing I always said about this team, not just this team in particular, but that way the program has gone.
It's expected.
I said, they're not tough anymore. You know, and the simple fact that we got to sit here and talk about you should be tough or what you need to do to win this game and you're not doing it, that's a problem. It'd be different when we talk about, oh man, you see that last play of the game, man, they got that lucky stuff. That'd be a different conversation. But when you're the recipe of every time you lose or come into situations where you know, we think they shouldn't have been in, it always boils down to toughness. And like you said, on both sides of the ball, like you said, when you can run the ball three times and not get 10 yards, that's an issue.
Yep.
You know, and that's not just a game issue. I think it's somewhat of a cultural issue. I don't know what's going on in those walls of the Woody right now, but I think they need to get back to the basis of being a tough football program and just letting the run game take
toughness away. Is going to be a word they hear a lot here.
I've got thoughts. I mean, Ryan Day's entire mantra is tough love, right? So love is great. Tough is missing, and that has been obvious this entire season. Beyond that, you know, I look at it from a roster composition standpoint of what's kind of discerning is that, or not discerning, yeah, discerning. You build a roster, Ohio State's been building a roster to beat Alabama and beat Clemson, and you still play in the North in November, and there's a different level of toughness that you have to have just physically to be able to fight that. And beyond that, Jim Harbaugh was right. Like, there are some guys in that locker room, and I'm not saying this about Ryan Day, who Jim Harbaugh was talking about, that you know, are on third base and thought they hit a triple. There's a lot of guys on that roster that didn't have any part in what you guys built. And a lot of guys, I mean, there's not, well, how many players?
49 of them, I think, had never played against
49
Michigan,
49
right?
Players had never
only one, we said last week, had ever started against Michigan.
Right. They're not entitled to that win. And I think that, to me, is the thing that you hope that this is a wake-up call. You know, in 2003, Jim Tressel lost to Michigan. Didn't ruin the program. Yeah. In 2011, Michigan was in the BCS bowl games. Ohio State was struggling. You guys were supposed to be terrible. Nope, 1 year, fix it, get back to what you'd have to do. I don't think this has to be a black and white, you know, the program must change type of moment. I think it is obviously a wake-up call. There will be changes inside of the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. There's going to have to be. But I don't like that the reaction from people is it has to be totally black or white. This is Ryan Day's first Big Ten loss in his career.
3 years. That's nuts. I mean, people just don't realize
Ohio
how hard
State
that is.
Has lost four games in the last 4 years or whatever in regular season play. There are changes that have to be made, but it does not require throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It's just about refocusing and understanding the importance of that game.
All right, we're going to get into what those changes may need to be, what they will be, what needs to happen as we shift gears away from what happened on Saturday into the future after we take a quick break. Right here on Letterman Live, it's brought to you by Roosters. It's a fun, casual joint.
And now with some early bowl predictions, Bobby Carpenter.
Well, Austin, what I'm seeing here is 12 lucky Roosters guests are getting the opportunity to travel to this year's Buckeye Bowl game. Each trip comes complete with two tickets, airfare, and hotel. One prize winner will be chosen each week. Guests need to register weekly at roosterswings.com.
That's great, Bobby. What I was asking was your prediction for the Buckeyes this bowl season.
I have no idea. I'm going to Roosters right now to register.
Precision engineering. Rigorous attention to detail. A Bryant Evolution heating system is so well designed, it's as much of a joy to install as it is to use.
Good to go.
For the dealer nearest you, visit Bryant.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, welcome back in to Letterman Live. It's brought to you by Roosters. They are giving away a bowl trip, Bob. We don't have to. It's too late to sign up. It's probably going to be the Rose Bowl. Which does. If Michigan
There's
wins the Big
chances.
Ten.
I mean.
Oh, come on.
Oh, here we
don't
go.
Do it, Bobby. Don't do it.
If everybody loses.
Don't go down that road.
It's a dark, dark path. But go to roosterswings.com.
And see the winners.
And you can see the winners. 24 winners, 12 each week, two deluxe hotel accommodations, airfare, tickets, most likely going to be the Rose Bowl.
Airfare is crazy expensive right
it's,
now.
It's actually a great deal if it's the Rose Bowl because, my goodness, I feel bad for Nicole. She's seeing more family. That's why she's not here today. And I told her to save her Buckeye leaf for the bowl game as well. Also, tomorrow is Appetizer Tuesday. Don't know exactly what it's going to be. It was supposed to be mac and cheese bites, so it could be dealer's choice.
It's going to be $2. We got some fried mushrooms, some fried cheese.
Honestly, the most disappointing part of the 2021 season was the lack of mac and cheese bites.
Oh. Or chips.
Well, and the fact that potato wedges. I mean, we've
That's right.
We've suffered a lot of losses.
I think there's a direct correlation.
I haven't seen a potato skin in a while.
Well, they need to start planting more wedge potatoes as opposed to the curly fried potatoes. That's the problem.
You're absolutely right.
Right. I mean, that's really where we're at.
So,
speaking of adjustments,
don't think that Ohio State is going to be all that motivated for a Rose Bowl. And I know there are a lot of traditionalists who love that game.
I disagree for one reason.
Well, can I?
Please get there.
Let them set the stage.
I'm with you on that one.
Maybe they will be, and you guys can make that case. I don't think that they will be. I think that the off-season program, the toughness program, all that stuff, the tough love, will start right now. There will be coaches that are no longer part of the program, and there's also no sense in waiting. So the team that will play on January 1st,
if they get rid of them now,
that's going to start. This team will look very different. So maybe that will play into what you're about to say, Berm and Tyvus. But there's going to be, like, if Garrett Wilson plays in the Rose Bowl, I will be stunned. If Cameron Brown plays in the Rose Bowl, I will be stunned. There's going to be guys that don't play. So maybe that will also mean more motivation, and maybe my premise here is wrong, but I don't think there's anyone in the Woody who's like, let's bring home a Rose Bowl trophy.
I'm going to say this. I don't know if they will win the Rose Bowl because of a lot of guys like Garrett.
They're going to play a team that is not anywhere near.
They're going to play Oregon again, most likely, and they're going to have that chip on the shoulder. But I have a unique vantage point on game days where, like, I was in the tunnel in Ann Arbor on Saturday as the game ended, watching these players go into the locker room after getting their asses kicked. Mm-hmm. I know that people don't care about it, but there's a lot of young guys who are very, very angry about what happened on Saturday. Yeah. I watched Travion Henderson, for example. He was the most pissed off I've seen of any player at Ohio State walking up a tunnel. There's stuff to play for, okay? Like, you don't come to Ohio State because I'm going to win every game. Like, you come to Ohio State because you want to be great, and this is the next step in how do you get there. You think Ryan Day is going to allow his players to sulk for a month? I just don't see it. The Buckeyes have the second or third most talented roster in the country. If you lose 7-8 guys that don't play in this game, so what? Next man up.
You've been young all year long. Why not throw some more young guys in there?
I don't think they're going to sit out.
I think playing in the Rose Bowl changes some things, especially for a guy like Chris Olave. It's his home. It's an opportunity to be a 1,000-yard receiver.
My last game in an OSU jersey, I'm going out with a loss. I'll be dang. It's not going to happen. Especially if we my boys and these my boys. Like, I'm definitely going to
We're
going to ride out.
We saw that in 2018.
And the good thing about Ohio State is if you play a pissed-off Ohio State team like we was when we lost to Michigan State, whoever in front of you got to get destroyed.
You saw that in the 2015 Fiesta Bowl against Notre Dame. Exactly. You saw that in the 2018 Rose Bowl against Washington. That's the game that Terry McLaurin and Paris Campbell and Johnny Dixon, all these guys could have sat out, but they were like, no, we're finishing it the right way. And I think here, if we want to do a litmus test for the culture of Ohio State football,
that's it. And if it is Oregon, it'd be a good one because why did Oregon beat us? They was more of a physical team. Yeah. So that's we need to see right now. Like, can y'all fix this? Y'all done went against them. Y'all already lost. Y'all got a chip on y'all shoulder. Y'all know they gonna come. You know they gonna be. It's gonna be a dogfight. Can y'all stand up this time?
Well, another piece too is some of these guys, especially some of the offensive linemen.
They gotta redeem themselves.
If your last thing on film is we've now have seen you go against equitable talent.
Yeah.
Guys who were close and it did not look good. And so there's going to be questions and answers need to be answered because there's a lot of assumptions like, well, they're good at this, they're good at that. Well, we just watched you get your butt kicked. And there's rounds that you can slide based upon performances, and especially if Thibodeau, I don't know if he would play with Oregon or what or how that would all work. But, I mean, there would be the opportunity there. And, you know, we mentioned this, and you brought up 2003. So, Berman, I know you were back playing in Wyoming, you know, hitting the golf balls around. But, you know, 2003, that was the last time that Ohio State I thought was better. It was a good Michigan team, and it was, you know, a permanent coach, not Fick in 11. And Jay-Z, were you up there? So you came up to the game.
Was it Chris Perry?
Chris Perry game. It looked a lot like I'm watching that.
Yeah. A lot like Hassan Haskins on Saturday.
Yeah, a lot like it, right?
Watching that game, and I'm getting a feeling where, we're playing hard, but we just don't seem to have that extra gear. Like, our offense is good, but it doesn't seem like they're just going to be able to bail us out over the top. And so it came down to basically a toughness issue. We had won two times in a row. And speaking from my perspective, not that you took the game for granted, not, you know, this and that, but it's like, hey, they won up there in 0-1. We won in 0-2. Like, this is just kind of what we do now. And that level of desperation, I think, was kind of lost.
Yeah.
And he ended up taking the Cincinnati job. Mark D'Antonio is our defensive coordinator. And every time, this was when we had that long break, we watched that Michigan game. And he's yelling at dudes on the sideline for not cheering. He's like, 2-yard loss. What is this? And he's like pointing dudes out on the sideline on the film.
Yeah.
He's like, get excited. Why did we even bring you here? Mm-hmm. And like, and it was real life. And so we'd be walking the halls of Woody, and he'd just, hey, and he'd look at, get in here. And it didn't matter the play. And he's like looking, and it was every day, it was like the post-game film session for probably about 24 days. And it stung, and it was like a scathing review of just like, what is this? Like, is this what you are as a player? And continually asking you that, and it stung, man. And so that like motivated everybody. I think that's where that thing flipped. Like, you can't take this for granted. They they outplayed you, and they were tougher than you. Is this what you want?
And the next year, they were better than us, and were supposed to beat us, and it didn't happen.
And you guys went to the Fiesta Bowl and knocked around a really good Kansas State team. And I just think when you get your manhood tested like that, and that's what Saturday was. That was a, you know, there's a lot of cliches of Woody Hayes around the football facility. But the quote,
I think that's
about,
why they put his name on it.
Yeah, probably. But the quote about like nothing cleanses your soul like getting your ass kicked or whatever.
Yeah.
This is that moment. I mean, you have to ask yourself, is this what you want? And, you know, earlier this season, Ryan Day said that CJ Stroud had one of those moments where he had to evaluate, is this what you want? And now there's going to be another 70 or 80 guys in that locker room that have to do the same thing.
It's the same. You go back to it on the film. Is this who you want to be on film? Is this who you want the NFL to see you, you know, see you playing in a game against your rival? I think it's going to be a lot of people who are going to be hungry. Yeah, the eye in the sky don't lie, and those guys put some pretty bad stuff on the film here this past weekend.
It's funny to hear that, man. Tony did that. You know, that's what they did to us when we lost to Michigan State and Clemson. Every time.
It's fickle. It was fickle, dude.
Boom, put it on. This is y'all. Every bad play. Look at this. Right before we did mat drills, every workout session, they put that clip on. We'd be like, all right. And then what happened the next year? Won it all. So the shit, I mean, the stuff works.
Yeah. Beep.
Well, you guys have me convinced. I was obviously wrong yet again, as I have been for a lot of the season.
See, that's the whole thing, though. The game has changed so much so quickly with name, image, and likeness, with all this other stuff. You just don't know. I mean, we wouldn't have talked about players skipping a bowl game 5 years ago. So it's hard to understand where it goes. But if you watched Chris Olave sitting on the bench in Michigan Stadium on Saturday when the game ended, as he's watching 100,000 people on the field, that didn't look like a guy who was ready to say, you know what, I'm walking away from this. It's the same Chris Olave who, after the 2019 Clemson game, could have gone to the NFL and been a first or second round pick and said, I can't leave like this. His career's over at Ohio State, but
maybe it's not.
He has an opportunity to write one last final thing, and I think that
maybe he's going to take a COVID year
again. Well, he's not, but the chance to go home and play in front of his family for the final time. I mean, I just think that there's a lot of guys that are going to have motivation to do it.
Chris is a proud guy, and he's quiet. He doesn't speak a lot, like you guys know. You cover the team, but like his legacy had come down. I mean, he was that dude that played really well in these games.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what stings him more than anything else. Is like, did he play bad? No.
Yeah.
But like, he knew that there were plays out there to be had that he didn't make, man. And when you've always been the guy that's made the play from block punts to touchdowns, and then you didn't get it last year, and you come back for this, and then to sit there and watch. And like, I guarantee you, like, it stings him more than anything. As much as some of these guys are big-time NFL dudes, that I had a talk to a recruit on the sideline for the Michigan State game, and the one thing him and his dad said, like, we like this more because there's more tradition, and he's from the South. There's more tradition that goes into Ohio State. A lot of the other places just seem like they simply prepare you for the NFL. He goes, and they do that here, but there's also an element of things that matter, team matters, and there's a history that does matter more than maybe just the guy who's currently renting that number.
Right. So the other part, setting the players aside, I think there's probably a very good it's trending towards Greg Studrawa probably not returning as the offensive line coach. I think retirement is probably near for Larry Johnson. So you can start with those two places as the staff sort of gets tweaked this month. Kevin Wilson is going to come up for a handful of jobs already.
He hasn't been offered any of these jobs.
Yeah, it's truly crazy. Right? And as many as are open right now, he has to get one in this cycle. And then if Colorado State wakes up and does the right thing with Steve Adazio, I would expect Tony Alford to get that job. Mm-hmm. So we're talking minimum of two and a maximum of a much higher number. Yeah. We don't have to speculate on candidates or anything like that at this point, but what do you guys think needs to happen for Ryan Day as he sits here? It's only 2 days removed from that, but I mean, something has to be changed. You said that right off the top, Cardale.
Man, I don't think it's always like, I don't think it's had to be so dramatic as a huge coaching change or, you know, far as guys like, we're not, you know, retaining your position. Yep. If they leave for a better opportunity, that's different. But I just think it just boils back down to not recruiting the right players, just the way you're going to tweak this offseason of getting back to the basics of, you know, we are a tough team. We set up, especially this offense and this defense, we start with the guys up front. Mm-hmm. And we only going to go as far as you, both sides of the ball. These guys up front going to take us. So I think we let that be an emphasis. I know we had some tremendous quarterbacks in the last couple of years, great receivers, and CJ and these guys are on pace to still do something unbelievable. But at the end of the day, we play in the North, and this time of the year, you got to be tough.
You do, and I think most of it comes down to recruiting. I mean, you know, there's people out there calling for Larry Johnson to basically, I mean, I know he might retire, but there's people who are saying, has he passed his prime? You know, it's like, well, the last 5 years. Well, I know. I'm saying, like, just because they're not in the field producing like the Bosas or the Chase Young, like, we don't have those players right now. But does that mean he's a bad coach? No. I agree with Carter. I don't think wholesale changes need to be made. I do think it's a little bit on that offensive line going into the year. There's a lot of talk of how enormous and how big and strong and everything this offensive line was going to be to be at the end of the year, and you can't go to your run game for 10 yards. That says something to me. So I don't know that, you know, it's because of him. Maybe he just doesn't have the right guys. Maybe we were playing five tackles when we should have had some guards in there. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes into that, and coaches decide who plays. But, you know, that would be one maybe I would look at, just you know, some fresh blood, some, you know, some different ideas. And that brings in some toughness, you know, whoever you go and get, if that were the case.
Well, and speaking about beginning of the year, talking about having all the tackles in the offensive line and stuff like that, well, this is going to be a passing team. Because it's a different mentality when you got to run the ball in between us, in between the interior.
You have a couple
line.
Mutters in,
you
the, got, in the middle.
If you got some tackles, they're not built. They're not. Their DNA is not, oh, this guy right in front of me, I need to drive this guy and work a double team like that. You know, it just don't work like that.
When you saw, that was one of the big problems. I mean, the double team stuff, you saw Michigan linebackers firing and running through, and they weren't meshing, getting off the double
exactly.
team to pick up the backer. Yeah, part of that is, you know, Harry Miller, like, you know, obviously an injury issue, kind of misdiagnosed at the beginning of the year, and he's out. You know, so you start shuffling some guys around. I know you want to get your best players on the field, but there is, like, everybody's just not position neutral. Like, there are certain guys that are built.
It's hard to just
certain
go.
Certain ways, like, hey, this guy's taller, maybe more athletic, but this guy's a little shorter, more powerful. Like, it's like that with receivers, linebackers.
Yeah, usually you got one guy like that, not four. And it don't work like that.
You can just, like, this guy is so great, you can play him anywhere, and he's going to be good. So that you got to, you know, help that. I've never been one to believe in wholesale changes. I've sat there, I've watched practice, I've seen these guys coach. I don't think it was a scheme thing. I don't think they got out of scheme. Mm-hmm. I think there was a toughness element that was involved. And so you can maybe lean on the coaches. Did they get them ready? Were they physical enough? Are you recruiting physical enough guys? Are you training physical enough in the off season? Is practice physical enough? Is that on the coach? Who's making those decisions?
Yeah.
Like, I had a friend of mine who works with me. He's like, well, looks like it's going to be 9-on-7 a lot in the spring. And I'm like, 100%. Like, hey, as great as it is, we can throw the ball. You can throw on 1-on-1s and 7-on, dude. And we used to have some nice, long 9-on-7 inside run periods that, you know what, where we talk, guys are fighting each other.
Yeah.
Because you get sick of it. Like, there's a competitive element to it. And so I don't know if that comes from the coaches. You know, I know Kerry Combs, I've watched. Is he different than the guy that was coaching when you were there, who, you know, is this great coach who does a good job? Like, people are the hammer, maybe as a coordinator, but as a position coach, okay. I think he's really good. I've seen how Al Washington interacts with the guys. Like, I think he does a good job. Like, you know, Milton gets hurt, you know, he blows out his knee. Like, all right, I mean, is that on the coach? I mean, they were thin at backer. They just didn't have any other guys. So talking about bringing over
Cade Stover.
Like, is that on the coach? The fact there's, you know, nobody there.
You had two leave in the middle of the season, the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I mean.
Just, you don't have the bodies.
You should have been recruited well. And Taroge Mitchell was one of the top inside linebackers.
Number one ranked linebacker in the country.
Yeah, there's guys who were Davon Pope, really, really talented player when they came in. There are some of these guys who were really good. Like,
but it's not always about that.
Oh, I know.
That sometimes
it's finding the guy.
Exactly. That them stars be misleading at times. It's all about the development, and I think that's, for some odd reason, to me, when you look at this team, you can clearly see that it's a difference from when Urban was the coach and when Ryan Day was the coach. If you can't see that, then you're clearly not paying attention. Right now, for some odd reason, it's like Urban just, people were scared. They didn't want to go to the Woody. It was just a physical time. Yeah, you dread it. Like, you dread, like, man, I got to go to the Woody.
Let's go to the Woody. Like, it's like they enjoy what they do.
Go hit the golf simulator.
It's for some odd reason to me. It's too friendly.
I still to this day, with the NIL thing, I still represent some of the players of the team. I still know a lot of those younger guys. And we sit down like this, we talk crap, and I'm not going to, to the players, but I tell stories about just the off season or practice, and they sit there like I'm telling them a horror story. They're like this. Oh my God. You guys started practice over? Well, I said, we probably had period 17. We start that.
To
warm ups, getting your stretch lines.
The whole thing. Start it all over.
Okay. Y'all bull crapping. Start it over. Are they even physical enough? Start it over.
There is and a then change in
happen
sports.
To go to the pit.
This is the thing. It's not even just the players. It's the Ohio State football media accounts have to have content. Okay. So you got to have fun punt returns in practice. It's a weird world, and there's an edge missing right now, and there's going to have to be changes. And I think, and I know I get blamed or called an apologist or a homer or whatever, but Ryan Day is 43 years old. He's in his third year as a head coach anywhere. Not like he was a head coach other places. I truly believe that what happened on Saturday is going to be the best thing that's ever happened to Ryan Day, because he is going to be forced to look himself in the mirror and say, am I willing to make myself uncomfortable for this success? And I've been fortunate because I got to know him when he started at Ohio State early and as the quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator. There is nobody in that facility who is a more fierce competitor than Ryan Day. This is going to not happen again. I said it after the Clemson game in 2019. He became singularly obsessed with beating Clemson. And he did it and embarrassed them the next year. I'm not saying he's going to go out and embarrass Michigan next year, but I think he's embarrassed, and I think you're going to see a guy change everything about what he's been doing to make sure that he doesn't have this happen again.
Yeah, I think I would.
However that happens on the staff, I don't know.
You and I both know that you can scratch the think part out. We know for a fact that he's embarrassed, and this is not acceptable for Ohio State. Why we've talked about it this long, and we could probably talk about it for another hour, but
the edge is back. Get the words up.
The land of the wolves was horrible.
Yeah, so let's
Jesus, that was so bad.
I'm not sure that it'll come back to that stuff, but you know that it's going to drive and motivate Ohio State, and we'll have a lot more Letterman Lives to talk about that in the days, weeks, and months ahead. But that's going to put a pin on this one. Michigan 42, Ohio State 27. The run is over. Dominance in the Big Ten is over.
Wait, hold on.
It's not over. The run is over.
No, the streak is over.
That's the whole point. One loss doesn't have to be the end of the run.
That's not what I'm saying.
I know what you mean. Yeah, the wording, man.
That's right. That's what I'm here. I'm five editors this week.
Same idea, though. Same idea.
I appreciate that you guys are here to keep that in line. I'll send all of my work this week to you guys to make sure that I get it right.
Yeah, we'll read through it. Good luck with that.
Yeah, this wasn't quite as fun of and casual conversation as we have, but still enjoy, as always, Cardale Jones, Justin Zwick, Tyvus Powell, Bobby Carpenter, Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Warden. We're going to be back here next Monday to talk about the Ohio State Buckeyes. Thanks to Roosters for having us for a fun casual chat. It's a fun casual joint. Come see them tomorrow for Appetizer Tuesday. See you next week.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.